He's did you use the college already?
Yeah.
Going? Okay. So he's going to college. So we praying for him as he makes some new directions in life, man. Because all that's going to be new. Yeah, at college, ain't nobody going. They don't care if you come or not. As long as they get paid their money, they don't care, man. So you're going to have to go to class and get that work done. Amen.
Amen.
We know Steve say amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hey.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles and open up with me to 1 Samuel, going to 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Once you get there, you please stand with me. You know, I realize it's been quite a little while since I preached here. I've preached other places, but hey, it's good to be back. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. It reads in verse number 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord of the hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he lay wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." We'll stop right there, and I'm going to be talking about finishing the job. Let's pray. God, I just want to ask that you just help me right now, God. God, just ask that you breathe through me, God. You talk through me, God. That I ask that you just help me to dispense the word that you gave to me, God. God, just ask that you just be with me, be with the hearts. Prepare the hearts for people who might view this later. For anybody who's under the sound of my voice, God, I just ask that you help us all. In your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Bless you.
Finishing the job. There have been times when we'll get jobs, and I actually had my first job. I got it back in, I think that was May. And they gave me tasks I'd have to do. I was a bus boy, the glorious job of a bus boy. And hey, it was money, I guess. And so I was doing that job, and we would have a section we had to cover, and we had to clean the tables and everything. And at the end of the day, if I finished it right, I would be able to go home early. I'd get a little incentive. But I was glad I was able to finish it. But here we're going to go into the scripture, and we're going to unfortunately see someone who didn't finish the job. As we go into to Saul, and a key point in actually the decline of his kingdom, of his part of the kingdom, being the first of the three kings. The first thing that we see is the commission that I just read that was given to him by God through Samuel the prophet. It, to refresh our memories, it says, verse number 2, and we can start in verse number 1, "Samuel also said unto Saul, The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." So I looked up that word hearken in verse number 1, and it means to listen attentively, to give need. So Samuel was basically telling Saul, pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, because it's straight from God. And as I looked further in the definition, the word attentively means it was an adjective which basically meant to be in an erect military position and to answer to on command. So this is basically saying that Samuel is telling him, I know you might have been doing something else, but now it's time to drop all of that, and it's time to be right here. And he, of course, at this time, God was ahead, and is God our head, to where we will be in the erect position to answer to his call when he calls us.
Amen.
And he said, in the other part of the hearken means to give need. That means to pay close attention. So he's basically saying, this is really important. And it says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt." And this showed me that he has not forgotten about the things that have happened to the children of God.
Right.
I sometimes when you look on the news and you'll hear about all these people in like China and places like that where Christianity is oppressed and where Christianity is, it's not a popular opinion to where they can lose their lives over just trying to go to church. I'm glad that I'm in the U.S. of A. where I can still pray whenever I want to without having to worry about somebody coming into my home and taking from me. But you see, he won't, just like he didn't forget Saul here, he won't forget those now. He said, "I remember that which Amalek, which was the enemy, did to Israel."
Yeah.
He remembered what happened to his people, how they laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. So Saul, he was coming up and they laid wait and they attacked him. Now that he has remembered his need, he's now going to address his need. He says, now go and smite Amalek. That means attack them and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He's basically saying, go and make the world forget that they ever even existed. Wipe out everything. And I am glad to know that he is able to do that to the problems that I have today. Amen. He's able to wipe them away to where I won't even be able to remember. Amen. I'm glad that he's already wiped away the sins to where he doesn't even remember. Even though it might sometimes come to my mind, he'll say, what sins? I forgave you of those. You don't have to worry about them. And you see, as we go in about finishing the job, it says, as we continue the story, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Now this is setting the stage for the battle with Saul. Up to this point, he has carried out everything that God has wanted him to do. He's gathered his armies. He's got 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. That means that he's ready to do some damage. He's ready to attack the enemy. He has listened to what Samuel has told him from God, and now he is ready to take the direct command, and he is ready to take it and to execute it. And then as we continue, it says, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you shall show kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah unto thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. Now, as we continue the story, he is again continuing that job. He has got the people and he's got them, and now the attack has begun upon the Amalekites, and he's coming, and you can say, oh, well, things are going okay. And you know, I find that sometimes when we have been given a job from God, that we can start things strong. We're going to say, you know, just like, remember at the beginning of 2013, you were dedicated. You said, I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray consistently every day. I said that myself, and unfortunately, I've had to work on that and repent, because unfortunately, I was not able to do what I said I was going to do. But we might start strong. That first week of January, ooh, we might be diving into God's word. We might be praying. We might be going and things seem okay. And then we might have a setback. Something to where the job where we've been sidetracked. And now we see Saul, as he goes and he says, and he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. Pause. Right here is the point where, to be honest, Saul has sinned. Because he did not follow directly. He did not follow the direct command of God. And when you and I don't follow the direct command of God, unfortunately, we sin. I will be the first one to tell you that sometimes I do not follow the direct command of God, and unfortunately, I sin. But I'm glad that I'm able to go to him and repent. But you see, it says right here at this point, we see, and it's when he took the king alive, but he utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. And right there, it says, but Saul and the people spared Agag. Hold on, and not only that, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they utterly destroyed. Unfortunately, Saul was coming up short in the job that he was given. How many times have we come up short in the job that God has given us? Things may seem to be going good, and then, whoa, right there, something happened. He came and he took the Agag alive. Maybe God has given us a commission. He's given us a job to get everything in the world behind us. Maybe he's given us the job to take our families and say, I don't know who you're going to serve, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Maybe he's given us that commission. But then as we get in there, just as he thought that the things when he took the king, it says, and the best of the sheep and the oxen or the fatlings and the lambs. He's sitting there saying, well, these things are good. But you see, our definition of good and God's definition of good sometimes seem to be two different things. Because God told him specifically, slay everything, the suckling, oxen, sheep, camel, and ass. He said that specifically. But before we judge him, Remember Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word short, just like Saul, we become inadequate. It means that it's lasting a brief time. So just like how Saul was coming and he was doing everything, but then what he was doing lasted a brief time. But then how many times have we been our own jobs where our things, it says when we come short of the glory of God, that means within ourselves we tried to do something. And sure, we may have able to be stopped cussing for a week. We may have able to appear normal for a while, but then it only lasted a brief time to where we appeared to be inadequate. So we've essentially been in the same position that Saul is in now. And it says when he spared Agag, maybe we'll say, well, you know, this album, you know, God, I don't think he'll mind. It's good music. There's nothing wrong. It went platinum. If something went platinum, it can't be nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey, we got Elvis over here. We got Michael Jackson over here. You know, take your pick. We'll say, oh, well, something can't be wrong with that. But those little things can be something. That little seedling of him saving the king suddenly led to him saving the sheep and the oxen. First, he only saved one person. Now he's saving all these things. So just like that one little CD sitting on our shelf incognito among, you know, the Samsons and among C.T. Townsend, there's that little Michael Jackson beat it sitting right there. And, you know, we'll say, oh, well, nothing's wrong with that. But then we'll find that that might expand. That collection might expand or something like that. I don't know specifically, but you can apply. I'm sure something has popped in your head, because when I was doing this, something popped in my head that I realized a job I didn't finish. And that job was, unfortunately, I'm glad you brought that up in the beginning, was high school. I graduated. I got my diploma. The story ends well. So you don't have to worry about me. I'm on track to go to college and, you know, hopefully, you know, be successful, whatever. But anyway, I was given a job. To go to high school, the one job I had, go to high school, okay, do your work, got it, okay. I started off strong. When my first couple of years, I made A honor roll, I had A's and B's, they were pretty good, and you know, this is just coming to my head, I remember, I think that was sophomore year, I got a C. Just like when Saul saved the king, that was almost that C was that little inkling planet. And then the next year, I lost my scholarship for my school. So I had to go to public school. Now I'm in a totally different environment, totally different. At first I was going to, you know, Christian school, taking Bible classes. Everybody seems to at least love God a little bit. And now I'm being plunged into public school, right into the depths of it. And now it's like that one little C. It's funny how it trickled down. And to me, being completely cast from there, and now I'm in a position where I'm around new people who don't know me. They don't know that I love God. I guess I got to go tell them now that I love God. And now that's another job that I've been given, and another job where I did tell them, but sometimes I may have fallen short, and, you know, I've repented, and I'm sorry, and please forgive me. You guys, please forgive me. But okay, back to this. Back to Saul. Okay, get away from me. Alright. But we see that just like with Saul, how he said those things and all those things, then unfortunately a judgment day has to come. Good thing my judgment day was good. I got my diploma, they called my name, I got my cap and gown and everything. But it doesn't always end that way, and which is unfortunate, to where the job cannot be finished as it was set out to end. I could have graduated valedictorian of my old school. I could have at least graduated in the top 10, but now I'm in another school where I was just one among 100. It's interesting how God, he can put us in a place where we may be ahead of the curve, but once we let that little bit of sin come in, things, they can start to decline. And then that judgment has to come, which we go into verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. This is a very, very sad two verses. It's sad in the sense of with God and in the sense with man. You see, the first word, when Samuel first delivered the word unto Saul, it was a positive. Vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. Now you'll be able to get vengeance against your enemies. But now this is saying that he has to deal with Saul. He said, it repenteth me. It means that God greatly regretted that he had set up Saul to be king. And sometimes I wonder how many times have I failed God, and I wonder if he would say he's greatly regretted to call me to preach. Unfortunately, he might have even greatly regretted sometimes even saving me from my position that I was in. When we as a church almost, sometimes I wonder what did he say that he greatly regretted us when we failed him. I hope I can continue on where he won't say that it repenteth him. That means that he greatly regretted. He says, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments, and it grieves Samuel. This showed me that if your misdeeds, as Saul did, they affect more than just you. Saul might have said, okay, I'm going to spare them. I'm going to take the oxen. Okay, we're going to have them, and everything will be okay. Samuel will be happy with me. God will be happy with me. But you see, the opposite happened. It caused Samuel was the prophet when Saul was the king. Samuel anointed Saul, and that was grieving Samuel. And he's crying unto the Lord all night. How many times has someone cried unto the Lord all night on our behalf? Yes. I'm glad I have a mother who cried on my behalf. And I believe her prayers are what got me across that stage. Unfortunately, when I was in a low position where I thought, man, this has happened. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm glad that she was praying when I couldn't even pray for myself. And I will always, always, always respect and thank her for that. Amen. And just like Samuel, he's crying. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was called Samuel saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And then we see, and then Saul said to him, blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He's thinking everything's okay. He thinks everything, hey, I did what I thought was right. How many times have we did what we thought was right, but then it wasn't necessarily aligning with what God had. And he said, and Samuel said, what meaning then this bleating of sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? He's basically challenging him almost in a rhetorical way, saying, oh, you did what God said, so then why do I hear all these animals then? Yeah. Because if you remember, when Saul set out, all he had was his foot soldiers and 10,000 of Judah. He didn't have it. He returned with more than what he was supposed to have left with. And then we come, he says, for the people, and Saul said, they. Isn't that interesting? At first, in verse number 13, he says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But then verse number 15, it says, they have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. It's interesting how he tries to shift the blame. Yeah. And like I said, before we even judge Saul, how many times have we tried to shift the blame? Yeah. Well, you know, I would have finished the job if they. Come on. I could even say, well, I would have, they didn't have to give me those grades. Those teachers, I would have finished the job if those teachers just been nice to me. You know, those teachers are so mean. Why did it have to be like that? But really, the problem was mine. Just like the problem is Saul, and just like when we sin, the problem is ours. It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Just like how David, instead of being like Saul saying they, David said, I have sinned. He did not bring up Bathsheba's name or anything. I hope that we would be like that coming into the job, because now we see that, unfortunately, I'm glad David, the second king, was a little bit better than Saul, because now we have to see the consequences of not finishing the job. If you'll skip down with me to verse number 24, and it says, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. Okay, he's made progress. For I have transgressed the commandments of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Okay, a little bit of progress, but he kind of brought it back upon them. He says, now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. You see, the first consequence is that we won't have full grace extended. I always want as much grace as I can get. But see, because of his things, he is repentant. He says, I have sinned. But unfortunately, he says, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. I surely hope he will not say that someone coming to me, I hope the pastor will never have to come to me and say that God has rejected you from being a preacher. That would be something that I can understand how Saul, if that happened to me. It says, and Samuel said to him, And that Samuel, verse number 27. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. The second thing is that gifts from God will be taken when we don't finish the job. And the third thing is that unfortunately God will finish it for us. In verse number 32, then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came to him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. He's actually trying to bargain his way out of that. But you see, God, when he does it, when he finishes it, sometimes Saul had to do was kill the guy, and everybody could have kept on going. But now since he has sinned, it's God is the one that has to pass the judgment. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Now that is a nasty sight. That means that he chopped Agag into pieces. Now, I just hope that God doesn't come to me and say, you know, Dennis didn't handle this. I want you to go chop this thing into pieces. I hope that doesn't have to happen to me, because it would be a great displeasure. But you see, God, and then we can lose those closest and coming in the close. And it says, as we skip down to verse number 34, then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And then verse number 35. Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. Saul lost the two things that were closest to him. And you know, I hope that we will not be not like Saul, but instead of another man a couple hundred years later, a couple maybe thousand named Paul, who said in 2 Timothy 4:6-8, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and now he's ready to depart. I hope that we will finish the job and not have to go through the things that Saul will do, but we can cross that finish line with our hands held up high and with our heads up high and with God, not in pride, but in thankfulness for God, with our hands held up to God. And I hope that we can all finish the job and not have to have these things happen to us. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for the time that you have given us, God. God, I just want to thank you for the message, God, asked it was received of your people, God. God, I just want to ask that you just be with the hearts and be with the rest of the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.